coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Gospel of Mark, a Bible study with Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. Jesus was the most talented teacher. He employed several teaching methods to convey his message. One of the outstanding teaching methods Jesus used was parables. Parables are stories by which comparisons are drawn with things from everyday life in order to clarify God's teachings. Ordinarily, the parables teach one main lesson. Consequently, not every detail in a parable is meant to have significance. In the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, a series of parables are registered. In these parables, Jesus reveals both grace and judgment. Listen to Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, the parable of the sower. Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Though typically called the parable of the sower, the story's main point has more to do with the four kinds of soil than with the person sowing seed. Again, Jesus is beside the Sea of Galilee and steps into a boat, making it his pulpit. He sticks to his main task, that is, teaching. He compares the kingdom of God to a sower who sows seed. Farmers of the day did this. After seed was sown, an oxen-drawn harrow, or even a flock of sheep or goats, were driven through the field to turn the soil over the seed. In those days, seed was broadcast by hand, which, by its nature, scattered some seed on unproductive ground. The seeds fell on different kinds of soils, some on the path, some on rocky soil, some among thorns, and some on good soil. The seed fallen on the path was eaten up by birds. The seed that fell on rocky soil did not endure. The shallow soil over large stones warms up quickly after the winter cold and helps the seeds to germinate and sprout quickly. Because such soil has no depth, the seedlings cannot sink healthy roots. Consequently, the plants did not endure. The seeds that fell among a variety of thorns, some of them grew as tall as 6 feet, germinated and sprouted, but the plants were choked by the thorns that ate up the nutrients of the soil, leaving little for the plants being cultivated. The seed that fell on good soil produced abundantly, though not at the same degree. A single grain could multiply itself abundantly, even hundredfold. Jesus challenges the hearer to consider carefully what has been just said and to apply it to his or her life. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This saying appears frequently in the New Testament. This parable helps explain why not everyone who hears the gospel believes it and bears the fruit of faith. Such failures are seemingly more common today than ever, even among traditionally Christian peoples. At the same time, the word of the Lord accomplishes His good purpose. It works miracles in the lives where the Spirit has His way. Why did Jesus teach in parables? What is the meaning of the parable of the sower? The evangelist Mark registered in the Gospel the answers of Jesus in chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. The purpose of the parables. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The disciples still did not have ears to hear, and so they had to ask Jesus for an explanation. Perhaps they were too embarrassed to reveal their lack of understanding in public, so they asked Jesus for an explanation in private. Before interpreting the parable for his disciples, Jesus first made clear that human beings cannot understand divine revelation unless given insight by God Himself. Jesus refers to the secret of the kingdom of God. This mystery has everything to do with a proper understanding of Jesus and His mission. Unfortunately, the disciples have still not understood Jesus' divinity and the nature of His mission. Particularly troublesome for them will be the idea that their Messiah has to suffer in order to complete His mission. Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 and 10 to show that He was fulfilling Scripture when He spoke in parables. The Lord commissioned Isaiah to preach to Israel, knowing that the people would not understand what they heard or saw. While Isaiah's preaching gained some disciples, it also exposed the hard-hearted resistance of many. In a similar way, Jesus taught the unbelieving crowds in parables because they continued to reject Him. Until the disciples believe that Jesus is the Messiah and interpret His teachings in the light of His sacrificial suffering and death, they will never comprehend anything about Him. In fact, much of the unfolding plot involves the struggle of the disciples to accept that the Messiah will be rejected and crucified. Now follows the explanation of the parable of the sower. Those sowing God's word include Jesus Himself, the first disciples, and all subsequent teachers and preachers of the gospel. The administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper are included in this sowing. These are the ones along the path, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Just as Jesus can and will be rejected, so also his word suffers opposition. The human ego is not the only obstacle to God's word. Satan and his evil host also work vigorously against the word. These are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Many converts joyfully begin a walk in the faith, but then turn away when difficulties arise. Trouble and persecution are part of discipleship. That is why Jesus repeatedly warns people of the perils of following him. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Although there is nothing wrong in riches honestly acquired, property tends to give a false sense of self-sufficiency, security, and well-being. Like thorns that choke a growing plant, so the worries and the pleasures of the world eradicate the feeble understanding of the gospel. Those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Scripture teaches that believers must be given grace in order to accept the word and bear the fruit of faith. That reality serves as a corrective to any thought that the productive soil is in itself better than the other, unproductive soil. The failures of the various soils to produce for the Lord are still common. People even now refuse to hear, fall away when hardship comes, and allow worldly concerns to overwhelm their faith. Yet, by God's grace, many receive the word in good faith and produce richly. We pray this might be your case, dear listener. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 21 to 25, we find another parable taught by Jesus, a lamp on a stand. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Jesus continues the theme of producing for the kingdom of God by comparing people to lamps set on a stand and by promising that faithfulness will be rewarded. In other words, the parable of the lamp on a stand speaks about putting faith into action. The light of a lamp is manifest and seen. In a similar way, ultimately, everything about a person, including the attitude toward Jesus, will be made public on Judgment Day. So Jesus challenges the hearer to consider carefully what he is saying, to ponder about his teachings, and taking them into the heart. Speaking about putting faith into practice, Jesus assures his followers that when they act graciously and righteously toward others, an even greater measure of goodness will come back to them. Jesus says, "For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Jesus is not saying that the rich get richer. Rather, in the economy of God's kingdom, those who faithfully put into practice the teaching of Jesus will be given more faith. Conversely, those who do not receive his gospel will see spiritual life and blessings slip away. The more we appropriate truth now, the more we will receive in the future. And if we do not respond to that little truth we may know already, we will not profit even from that. It is a great pity that so many Christians frustrate God's desire to bless faithfulness by failing to put their faith into practice wholeheartedly. So the Lord calls to repentance and offers his forgiveness to those who repent. At the same time, he encourages us to let the light of our faith shine, putting into practice his teachings. Now we are led to one more parable. We read in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 verses 26 to 29, the parable of the growing seed. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Only the evangelist Mark recorded this parable. Although this parable and the parable of the sower involve the sowing of seed and its growth, this one teaches a different lesson, namely, the gospel message contains its own power. The farmer plays an important role in the cultivation of the field, scattering the seed. However, the germination of the seeds and the growth of the plants take place apart from the efforts of the farmer. The process of germination and development happens even during the time the farmer sleeps. Even today, many aspects of horticulture remain a mystery. The more one studies nature, the more one marvels at its complexity, as well as the wisdom and power of the Lord of nature. The earth does not actually produce growth by itself. The plant owes its growth to the power of God, who both creates and sustains the natural order. Growth in the kingdom of God is similarly the result of God's word and spirit, not the result of the speaker or hearer. The image of cutting the plants and harvesting the grain is frequently used to describe judgment at the end of time. By concluding this parable with a reference to the final judgment, Jesus underscores the idea that the kingdom is moving toward a goal. All this leads us to conclude that God's kingdom grows mysteriously of itself and its own pace and through the power of the Word. This reality often causes frustration among those who eagerly long for a rapid expansion of the kingdom, and all the more as we have only a short-term view of things. But God's kingdom grows according to His plan and timetable. It is a great blessing that things ultimately depend on God and not on us, for only He is able to bring home a great harvest for life eternal. As we move on in the Gospel of Mark, we come across with one more parable recorded in chapter 4, verses 30 to 34, the parable of the mustard seed. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. In rabbinical teaching, the mustard seed became proverbial for its smallness. Technically, an overstatement, since the mustard seed is not actually the smallest seed known. One variety of mustard can reach a mature height of 10 feet, making it the largest plant in an herb garden. Birds can make nests in its shade. In the parable, the birds represent people of every nation. This alludes to a prophecy comparing the Messiah's rule to a great tree in whose shade birds of every sort will nest. To the crowds, Jesus spoke in parables, but privately to his disciples he explained everything. Jesus did not purposely make his teaching confusing or difficult to be understood. Rather, it was the people's preconceptions that made his teaching seem hard, so he explained privately the parables to his disciples. The parables of Jesus reassure believers that over time the kingdom of God will grow incredibly large, far beyond its modest beginnings. Precisely because the kingdom grows so slowly and its Lord is so patient, believers tend to become discouraged and its enemies are emboldened. But in the end, the kingdom of God alone will stand, and everything else will be overthrown. Thank you for joining us in this series of studies on the Gospel according to St. Mark. You are warmly invited to be with us again in the next study.
Thank you for listening to this Bible study on the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Arno Bessel. The podcasts of this program can be downloaded from our website at lutheranradio.co.uk. And for more information about Pastor Arno Bessel and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.